You ever read the Bible? You ever read the Bible and see something that you've read hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times, and you've heard and maybe regurgitated, you know, you've told other people about it. In 2 Corinthians 12, in my study this week, I really tried to argue a point against what I was seeing there. Does that make sense to you? Because it doesn't agree with what I've always been taught. You ever have that trouble in the Bible? And then, as I began to unfold it, and through prayer and study, I saw something beyond that initial discovery, something that made me understand what it was all about. And it's always good when you finally get it. And I would hope after all this time, I finally got it. And I want to share that with you tonight. Chapter 12, verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Now, when he uses the word glory there, he means to gloat or to boast or to brag. And so he said, it is not expedient for me to brag. How many of you like somebody that brags all the time? No, yes, I have friends like that. And they're my friends and I love them, but I wish they'd quit bragging all the time because they're not impressing anybody. But it builds their self-esteem, I guess, makes them feel strong and good. And, you know, so we have to listen to it or go in the other room. And he says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So we understand as he writes, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, there were some visions and some revelations. There's some new understanding that he's got. And Paul is fantastic. You know, what a great teacher he is to us. What a great teacher he was to them. But for God to take his writings, of course inspired, but to take his writings and to include them in the Word of God so that we could read it and learn from it as Christians, as individuals, as husbands, as fathers, as friends, as church members, as pastors. You know, he's got all these writings that just covers all the bases of our Christian walk. And he goes back and connects the Old Testament so we can bring it together, and that's fantastic. But he says there's some visions. There's some stuff that he has seen and some revelations, so some stuff that he has learned and understood that he didn't read anywhere. This is his personal experience. So nobody taught him, you know, no earthly teacher taught him these things. And then he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. I don't know if he was an angel. I don't know if I was in the spirit. You know, the book of Revelation, as John wrote, he was sitting in a prison in the Isle of Patmos, and it was the Lord's day, and he was in meditation and prayer, and God began to reveal to him a vision. And so he was seeing things that were spiritual and heavenly and prophetic. But if you had been in the same room, you would not have heard or seen or experienced the same thing. It's a revelation. And he says this in verse 2, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. I don't know, excuse me, if this man was an angel or if it was just a vision. Or if it was, you know, as a man talks face to face. Now, I've always been told, no doubt you've heard, and I've probably said, that Paul was called up to the third heaven. That's not what he said. And nowhere in the Bible does it reference this and say that's what happened. Now, every theologian and every study, devotional, whatever that I have looked at and researched, everybody comes to the same conclusion. There was one guy who said most theologians believe that Paul was speaking of himself, But he spoke as if it were a third person so that it wouldn't make him, you know, to seem to brag. That's not what it says. And we desire to be biblical. We desire to say, well, it says what it says and it means what it says. And that probably, if, you know, if this was a room full of preachers, they would probably dismiss me right there because they say, oh, that's what we've always believed. But that's not what it says. At what point are we going to be biblical and take the Word of God for what it says and not try to read into it what somebody else thinks? That's how you get in trouble. That's how churches create doctrines that aren't biblical. We can't do that. I don't want to belabor the point, but let's just believe what it says. Now, Paul says, I don't know if it was in the body, out of the body, if it's just a vision. But he said that man was caught up to the third heaven. There are three heavens. Somebody asked me this last week or week before. Pastor, how many heavens are there? Are there different levels? The specific question was, are there different levels of heaven? He was listening to a preacher online, and that preacher talked about different levels in heaven. Well, there's heaven that goes from the ground to the atmosphere. That's the first heaven. That's the air we breathe. That's where the birds fly. And then there's a second heaven, where the stars are. And then there's the third heaven. That's where God is. That's where God's throne is. And so the third heaven, when he says, was caught up into the third heaven, he explains again in verse 4, he was caught up into paradise. Paradise, speaking of that place where there's perfect communion with God. That's paradise. Perfect communion with God. And he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, I can't tell you what he heard. But he says, I knew a man, it's 14 years ago, about 14 years ago. And this man went up where God is, and he heard fantastic things. Now, he said, I can't tell you if it's like another man, if he was in the body, out of the body, if this was just a vision, I don't know. But look at what he says in verse 5, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory. What does that tell you? It tells you it wasn't him. I know that's not what people preach and teach. I'm telling you, because I couldn't find anybody, Brother Andy, that said what I'm saying. They all say it's Paul. But Paul didn't say it was Paul. When we keep telling a story, just because that's become the story, we're in trouble. I don't want my children to someday be leaders in churches and read the Bible and say, but that's not what Dad taught. And I don't want members of the church or even visitors to come in here and say, well, that's not what it says. That's how can we tell people to believe the Bible if we don't believe the Bible? If we put our own story in the story. So anyway, he says, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory or brag or boast, but in mine infirmities. I tell you what, I find it incredible. Just right there. I mean, we're not done, but that's the part that just blew me away. Paul says, number one, I'm not going to brag about me. Now, I knew a guy 14 years ago. I'll brag about him, but I won't brag about me. But if I'm going to boast, I'll boast or glory of my infirmities, my weaknesses. Now, that doesn't sound right, does it? Something in there doesn't work. He says, I will not boast about blessings. How many of you are blessed? Amen, we're blessed, right? If you got a roof over your head, you're blessed. If you got heat in the house, you're blessed. Somebody called me today, said he lost power and didn't have power overnight, but he had a gas heater, so he's warm. He was happy to be warm. You got a roof over your head, you're blessed. If you got an income, you're blessed. If you got friends, you're blessed. If you got a church, you're blessed. If you got Jesus, you're blessed. If you can read the Word of God, you're blessed. Man, we have an advocate with the Father. I can pray. I can talk to God. I can approach the throne of God and talk to Him. I go back to what we said Sunday morning. Jesus was praying alone. Oh, what a special time to just be alone with God. And we're blessed. But he says, I'm not going to glory about the blessings. But I will glory about my infirmities. What does that mean? My sufferings, my weaknesses, my infirmities. Paul is expressing, here it is, if God can use me with all of my faults, then God can use you. Isn't that great? That's what he's saying. That's the whole point. He's not, we get caught up on this third heaven thing and say, oh, well, Paul went. No, he didn't say that. But he says, I'll tell you what's important about me is that I'm just a man. Look, he's not talking about sinfulness. He's talking about humanness. And if God can use me, God can use anybody. If God can use me with all of my failures and all of my sins, all of my weaknesses, all of my sufferings, and all of my groanings, he says, then God can use you. We cannot use our problems as an excuse to not serve God. We can't. Where was Paul in most of these writings? Prison. You talk about a prison ministry. He had one. I don't want the kind he had. I mean, I want to be a blessing, but I don't want to be in prison. Look at Joseph. Joseph was in prison. Man, he was wrongfully accused and wrongfully incarcerated. But he was in prison, and you know what he did? He made the best of every day, and they made him the head of the prison. Gave him access to anywhere he wanted to go within that prison. He had access. Why? Because it was his mindset. I don't know what he was thinking when his brothers threw him in that pit. But he came out of that pit. They put him on a slave wagon and sent him off to Egypt. And evidently he still had a pretty good attitude all the way through it. Is a bad attitude going to help things? Sure not. Is worrying going to help it? Sure not. No, it's not. Paul says, if God can use me, God could use anybody. Look at verse 6. Though I would desire to glory, I'd love to tell you about all the good things God's done in my life. But I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. Now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. I'm just going to be myself. I'm going to let God do his work through me. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to try to be something I'm not. I'm not going to try to express myself as something I'm not. Remember what he said later? He said, I have not yet apprehended, but I stretch forth, I press toward the mark, to the prize of the high calling. See, he said, I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect. I'm human. Not sinful, but human. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Look, God spoke to his heart. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I hear you say God speaks to your heart, but I've never heard God speak to my heart. And I don't know how really to answer that except to just keep listening. Just keep talking to God and be open. And if he's got something to say to you, he'll say it. But just be comfortable when he doesn't speak as much as when he does. But Paul says, through the abundance of revelations, lest I should be exalted. Look, you know, sometimes we get so heavenly minded, we're not of any earthly good. Get so our mind up in the clouds, and we think about heaven, and we think about all that. We can't relate to people down here. We've got to be able to relate to people down here. They've got to be able to relate to us. So he says, lest I should be exalted, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What? To keep me grounded, to keep me humble. God gave me a regular struggle. How many of you would say that you've got a thorn in the flesh? Maybe that's physical ability. Maybe that's mental ability. Maybe that's, not that I'm saying this, but it might be your spouse, or it might be your children, or it might be, you know, your parents, or it might be, you know, somebody, your job, might be your, you know, in your flesh. But there's something that keeps bringing you down and keeping you grounded. And sometimes we say, oh, you know, you're keeping me back. Well, I'm not keeping you grounded. Because God's speaking to you and doing things in you and doing great things. And if you didn't have something to bring you back down to earth, you wouldn't be able to relate to people. He says, this thorn in the flesh was sent, given to me by God, and it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me humble, to keep me grounded. And I prayed. Look at verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said, I didn't want it. How many of you would say there's something in your life right now and you've prayed and asked God to get it out? Anybody? Get rid of it. Remove it. I just don't know if I can serve you with this in my life. That's what Paul was saying. And there's those things in our lives that remind us that we're humble, that we're here, that we're earthly. That as much as our faith means to us, and as much as God means to us, and as much as we're surrendered to God and we want to serve His purpose, that we're still here among the sufferings of this world. And the people in our lives, the people that we love, they're going to bring sufferings in our lives. And our bodies are going to bring sufferings in our lives. And even our minds are going to bring sufferings in our lives. Paul says, I prayed it would go away. But it didn't. It didn't. Verse 9, and he said unto me, so here God spoke to him. God gave him this understanding. He said that God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. I love that. God is able to bring us through our struggles, to bring us through our fears, to bring us through our infirmities. God is able. His grace is sufficient. But can God love me? Yes. Even with this in my life? Yes. Even with this addiction, even with this struggle, even with this burden? Yes. Even with these attachments? Yes. Even with these yokes that I've yoked myself to? Yes. God can still use you. You're not too old. You're not too weak. You're not too broken. Guys, how many weak and broken people do you know that need Jesus? And if you can believe in God, then they can believe in God too. And we got to look for people that are like us and reach them. I mean, go to people that are not like you too, but the ones that can relate to you are probably going to be more willing to listen. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for, there's a reason, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's strength is perfected, meeting our needs. How many of you really feel fulfilled when you do something for somebody else? Like, it feels good, doesn't it? I helped somebody. Man, I made a difference. Don't you know that God is the same way when He looks at us and He's able to help us? And God says, my strength is made perfect. I was able to do something for you. So Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I'm not going to hide from my infirmities, my weaknesses, my brokenness, my humanness. I'm not going to pretend to be Superman. I'm not going to pretend that I have no faults. I'm not going to pretend that I never backslide, that I never sin, that I never have an evil thought. I'm not going to pretend that I'm perfect. I'm not going to pretend that I belong in heaven next to God. He says, no, most gladly, I'll share the truth of who I am. Again, not sinfulness, we're not talking, but humanness. I will glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, my brokenness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I mean, really, Paul? Yeah, really. He says, I look at my problems and I appreciate my problems. I look at my struggles and I appreciate my struggles. I look at my brokenness and I can appreciate my brokenness. Even when it's something in my heart or on my mind. Now we say it's a thorn in the flesh. Some would say it was his eyesight. Some would say it was a skin disease. Lots of different ideas. Paul said it was to keep him humble. And maybe it was a physical ailment. There are lots of great testimonies of people who struggled with depression. Spurgeon, one of the great preachers, struggled with depression regularly. In fact, took months at a time to escape from the church and go to a retreat, another house that he had, and stay there and just rest and recover alone. We don't think, you know, when we think about depression, how can a pastor have depression? I mean, just because he sits around and listens to everybody's problems all the time, how can a preacher be depressed, right? By the way, I don't say that in an ugly way. I mean, that's the job. That's what we do. You'd be surprised what people will tell you. But that's what a pastor is to do, is to listen and to hear. And somebody reached out to me the other day, and at the end they said, I know I don't have to say this, but this is a confidential conversation. I said, what conversation? Because that's the ministry. Number one, I can't carry that burden. It's his burden. Number two, I can't share that burden because it's his burden. It's nobody else's burden. Why do they need it? They don't need it either. It's his burden. And between him and the Lord, they'll work it out. Paul said, I take pleasure in my infirmities and in my reproaches. You know, when people don't like me, that's okay. In necessities, my needs, necessities mean lack. Means I don't have enough. You ever get to the point where there's still a lot of month left after the money? You don't know where it's going to come from? Well, let's learn to look to God and say, God, where's it going to come from? And sometimes we become too reliant on others and we reach out to them and, you know, a lot of times they provide the need. But our first response, our first prayer ought to be, God, can you help me? And let's see what God can do, because God can do amazing things. And I could give you stories about that. And necessities. You mean when we get saved, all our problems don't go away? Not at all. If there's ever a chapter that says your problems don't go away when you get saved, this is a chapter that says that. Because Paul says, I've got weaknesses, infirmities, I've got reproaches, people, you know, problems. I've got needs. In persecutions. What's that mean? And people are after him. People are trying to shut him up. Shut him down. In distresses. Distress. We call it stress. And Paul said, yeah, even in my stress. He said, I'm glad I got him. I'm glad I've got some stresses in my life for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he is strong. Isn't that incredible? You see, when people come through those doors, especially lost people, maybe they're coming to be encouraged and they've come to, you know, get a little pep. But they need to know that God loves them where they are, how they are. And that God is reaching out to them where they are, how they are. Broken, infirm, in weakness and stress. And God is reaching out saying, hey, I love you. Let me help you. God says, that's what I'm best at. That's when my strength is perfected. That's when you really know who I am, is when I can help you. Now, look, that doesn't mean, you know, go out and get yourself stuck, get yourself in a mess. But it means that whatever problem we're facing, God can help us. And He wants to help us. And that's when God shows Himself strong. Would you stand? God, we're encouraged tonight because, you know, when we came in here, we knew we weren't perfect. We knew that as hard as we might try, we'll not be perfect. But we build our discipline and we build our faith and we build our resistance to temptation and sin. And yet sometimes we have moments of weakness when evil thoughts creep into our hearts and our minds. And we know You're not pleased with that, but we know You still love us when that happens. When we look at the mission ahead and we realize we're not capable, and we wonder how in the world You could ever give us a burden that we can't meet. But the answer is simple. You never expected us to do it without You. And so with every burden and stress and reproach and persecution, infirmity and weakness, we need You. We need Your help. We pray that You would meet our needs tonight and through this week, that You would make a difference in us and help us to be a blessing everywhere we go in every life that we touch. Dismiss us now with Your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.